He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge. I'm Anthony Irwin, joined by Raj Chipalu. Raj, you and I are supposed to try to remain professional. We are supposed to contain ourselves. We are supposed to, you know, just present, you know, our best faces here for this kind of opportunity. But fuck all that shit. Austin Reeves is him. What the hell just happened?
Wait, before we start, Anthony, so the way we closed the last show, you're telling me there are movies better than that? There are movies better than that? Come on.
The new Avatar is pretty good. Yeah, but
okay. There are not movies better than what we just watched there. No way. No way.
I don't know. It was basically like what we just watched was like a version of Hoosiers. Like that was Jimmy Chitwood out there. You know, well, you won't get the reference.
Never seen it, but yeah.
All right. Well, today, look, the show is basically reacting to that, looking ahead at the rest of the series as a result of this game. You know, what preconceived notions do we have going in that were either confirmed or denied, or you know, and just generally, like how we feel about the team here given this spot. We have to start by talking about Austin Reeves and Rui. We have to talk about Reeves. Like, this was incredible. This was an unbelievable performance. Look, Reeves doesn't get his opportunity late in the game. If Rui doesn't play his actual ass off, you know, I knew it was going to be a special game for him when I think it was the second three-pointer that he took. He started trotting back on the release. Rui Hachimura was feeling himself from three. Unbelievable, you know, on both sides of the ball, too. Like, you know, the three-point shooting and the general shooting is going to get the attention. But also just, you know, super physical up front, you know, offensive rebounding and just general physicality. And, yeah, took advantage of a moment that presented itself because of all of the attention that gets paid to LeBron and AD.
That's the thing, right? So they were playing off of him, basically, kind of treating him similarly to what they were doing with Jared Vanderbilt. And he's like, I'm just going to take these. And he's been aggressive with those throughout the year, actually. He hasn't really lost confidence in his jump shot. And this tonight, it just went in. I was just like, feel handy after every single one of those jump shots. Because you could tell, like, he'd be so proud of that. Like, he's obviously worked on that jump shot a ton. And he didn't really even have, Anthony, his, like, dribble in pull-up game going either, right? Because they were shutting that off. It was basically like Jaren Jackson Jr. They were trying to hide him, right, on Vanderbilt or Rui or one of those guys. And he's like, I'm just going to take this three. And a couple of times they had to close out. He was huge, 29 points, 11 for 14 off the bench. And he really helped close this game. 6 rebounds as well. And the physicality, his defense on Towns was huge in the playing game. And then also tonight, his defense on Jaren Jackson Jr., you saw in those minutes, Anthony, there were like 2 or 3 minutes in the fourth quarter because John Morant got hurt. And we tried to put Vanderbilt on JJJ, and it just didn't work at all. Jaren Jackson got a quick 5 points, and we quickly went away from that. We went right back to Rui, and he's able to like handle him physically. That's just what a luxury to have, like, Rui Hachimura back up LeBron James. Like, that's your backup to LeBron, is another 250, like, huge wing who can actually shoot. He was fantastic. He was huge. His defense, too, you talked about it. Won't get the credit it's due, but he was big time tonight.
I wrote before the playoffs started that I thought he should really be in the playoff rotation. He looks like playoff basketball, right? Like he's just a big physical wing, capable of moving his feet. And, you know, they tried Desmond Bane on him, and he just took him down into the pinch post, had that really nice fadeaway late in the game when he really had it going. When Memphis was small and they didn't have somebody to block out Rui, he was just running to the front of the rim and either keeping it alive or putting it back up onto the rim. And you know, guys just kind of bounce off him. And, you know, one of, I think, the subplots in this one was kind of interesting to watch referees try to figure out like how they're going to call this. Mm-hmm. You know, there were some referees that wanted to stick to some of the touch stuff that you get in the regular season, and then there were other other referees who, you know, allowed playoff basketball to happen. And when they allowed the playoff basketball to happen, when they allowed that physicality, I really thought that was when the game started shifting. And the Lakers, and this was the key when they won the championship a couple of years ago, right? Was bigger, stronger, faster. I thought Darvin Ham sent a really clear message. Rui was the first guy off the bench.
Yeah.
You know, he was the first sub. He came in before either the first or the second. He came in. I don't know if he came in. Right. Schroeder didn't come in first.
No, it was Rui for LeBron, actually.
Yeah.
It was like 5 or 6 minutes left. Yeah, the first quarter.
And so he leapfrogged essentially Malik Beasley, and he leapfrogged Troy Brown in the rotation here. And, you know, one of the things that Aaron and I talked about was this notion of if Rui works, there is no counter, because they don't have those kinds of physical players coming off of the bench. If Rui pans out, if Rui plays like he does tonight, then Memphis just kind of has to take it. And that was what Jeff Van Gundy was saying over the course of the game, was like, look, if I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose on Rui threes. And that's fine in the regular season when it's 1 of 82, but it's 1 of 4 home games that Memphis might have in this series. And they lost like that. They wind up losing on a night where Jaren Jackson Jr. probably plays his best game of the series. He was incredible. Never had to worry about foul trouble or anything with him. And we'll talk about that here in a bit. But I just, you know, when you consider how much this game meant to Memphis, the younger team that needed it, you know, you saw the crowd like making their way to the exits early, or, you know, late in the fourth quarter, but you felt it throughout where they were all just kind of like anxious and like, hey, you guys are going to start winning, right? Like, that's actually going to happen. And I really think that was something that, you know, that's where you have the experience of LeBron and you have the experience of AD, where they get into that fourth quarter and they get into those clutch minutes, and they kind of look around at the huddle and they say, you hear this crowd? They're fucking nervous. It's time to go out and get this game. And that's when Reeves takes over.
Okay. Last thing on Rui. So my term that I've called him this whole season since he's been here is release valve, right? And you've talked about that, where he's a playoff type performer. And there was one moment in this game. I said his mid-range wasn't really working, but in my notes here. So like, we started the quarter up 6, right? And we decided not to have AD on the floor. So he's left him off the court. Memphis came roaring back, actually. So we were up 6, and I think they took the lead. They went up 3. Jaren Jackson Jr. started to have it going, and Rui hit this like turnaround pull-up jump shot from the mid-range. Like, looked like Kawhi Leonard, you know what I mean? Just like right there, just like his jumpers. And that went down, and that really kind of calmed us down. And then Austin kind of took over after that. We went up and really didn't relinquish the lead after that. But no, Rui was fantastic in tonight. And you need guys who can hit open shots like that. Like, they're gonna put all their attention on AD like that. You have to be able to do it. And AD hitting the skip passes, Anthony, like on time against this physical Memphis defense, being able to read and react really nicely. I thought he made the right play almost every time. I'm not even sure how many times he turned the ball over, but it felt like he really didn't have any turnovers as well. And that's the counter. If they're gonna shade guys out because they don't want Jaren Jackson Jr. on AD, they have Tillman or other guys try to defend him, you have to be able to hit the skip pass and knock that down. And our guards and Rui Hachimura really made them pay. So it was a fantastic game one from them.
Yeah, they Memphis, that is, you know, really made it clear what was not going to beat them. You know, they didn't allow, like, credit to Memphis. I thought they did a really good job of not letting the Lakers get downhill, because that's where, like, if you have a center who you're concerned about foul trouble with, that's one way to prevent that foul trouble, is to make sure that, you know, if he's going to contest stuff, it's going to be on his terms as that, like, kind of free safety. But and so Memphis did a really good job of that. But one way, you know, when you do that, you wind up having to give up some extra stuff, because you wind up, you're overplaying stuff. You're playing more aggressively and you're shading more aggressively so that penetrators don't get into the paint. And that does leave you open for skip passes and for, you know, you know, pinch down screens and stuff like that. Like the stuff that the Lakers were doing, and it was great to see. Like, I Frank Vogel won a championship, and I'm never gonna, you know, talk shit on him necessarily, but the type of offense that the Lakers were running this game, especially in the clutch, like this was the thing that I told when they made the deals that they made at the deadline and with guests who were on at that time, I said, this is a team that can win a championship because they can execute, they can out-execute anybody in the half court. And that was before we found out that Austin Reaves is who Austin Reaves is. That was unbelievable. Let's talk about Reaves because that was insane. I thought the moment that I kind of knew, not knew, felt like, because nobody knows something like that is coming. But the moment that I kind of had a feeling Reaves was comfortable in the moment, he had a play where he dribbled baseline and threw a behind the back pass out to Rui Hachimura, who wound up hitting that three. And so my in-laws are actually, like, as soon as I record this, I have to go and grill and we're having a steak dinner.
Nice.
I had a feeling the Lakers were going to win, so I went ahead and bought some Wagyu steak. So shout to the Lakers for making. I feel okay about. I was able to pay for those with some winnings. But anyway, he makes that pass, and I told my father-in-law who was sitting next to me. I was like, Roger, this guy is an undrafted second-year player. And he's in the biggest game of his life, right? A road playoff game, 5 minutes or so to go in the fourth quarter. And this motherfucker is dropping behind the back passes to like not easy ones either. That had to travel the extent of a 3-point line. So it's like a 25-foot behind the back pass that hits Rui absolutely in stride. And that's when I was like, oh, this guy, he feels comfortable. You don't do that with that kind of confidence if you don't feel comfortable, if the moment is kind of big for you. I don't think he does that in that Memphis, in the Minnesota game, right? But he does it here, and that's when I said, especially when Rui hits the shot, and you kind of see, like, you kind of see the moment kind of like, Rui kind of goes like, okay, let's go. And then he just handled all of the pick and rolls from that on board with LeBron James on the court, with D'Angelo Russell on the court, Austin Reaves is handling your pick and roll there. What the fuck did we just watch? Did we just watch like the beginning of an insane career? Like, what did we just watch?
Yeah. So really quick, this wasn't the start. Actually, if you go back to the Utah game, remember, like, that was a close game for no reason. And I think we actually recorded after that one as well. I believe after the road game in Utah, we went to Austin Reaves as well. We gave him the ball. Yeah. We're like, here's the ball. Here's a pick and roll. Go and pull up. And that pass was insane, Anthony. The score was like 108-106. It was one on the road.
Two-point game with like 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter on the road. And he just, cool as a cucumber, just boop. All right, there you go.
Not just that. Shot clock was running down, right? So Jaren Jackson Jr., I believe, was the one that closed out to him hard. Pump fake drive off the dribble. Behind the back pass to Rui at the top of the key. Just an absurd hit. And like, just to give Frank Vogel a little bit of flower here, we couldn't run this type of offense, right? We didn't have the guards. Someone who rewatched way too many Frank Vogel games. Like, we didn't have the offense to like
run. Yeah, they didn't have these pieces. Yeah.
No. And Austin, just to give you credit, can't do this without the game D'Lo had as well, right? D'Lo was, I thought, really steady. He had a steady hand offensively. But yeah, we just were like, here's double drag screens. Like, there's no where LeBron's like, I'm not going to be on the ball. It's going to be AD and either Rui or whoever was the other screener. I'm like, here, go to work. And he did. After that Rui three, by the way, it's Austin pull up, Austin drive, Austin three, and then Austin fade away. And then I think after the fourth fadeaway, he's like, okay, now I can scream, I'm him. That was the I'm him scream. But like, Memphis looked like they're like, What do we do? We have our best defender on LeBron. We have Jaren Jackson Jr. flanking AD. Desmond Bane is on Austin Reaves, and he's just like, I'm going to put you in jail. I'm hitting this jump shot every single time. You go under the screen, I'm pulling up. And we've seen shades of this, Anthony, right? Like, I talked about the Utah game. There's other ones as well where he's shown, like, I can get to my spot and I'm confident in this. This pull-up jump shot, this is my shot. I work on it. And that's a playoff shot. You talked about Rui has a playoff game. That's a playoff type of shot. Yeah. Off the dribble, mid-range pull-up. That's a shot that defenses want to give you. And Austin Reeves has that in his bag. I think he's shooting like 45, 46% from those. Anthony, coming into this game, he's shooting like 57, 45, and 90 on 20 points per game. It's just ridiculous numbers in all these must wins. So he's he was and only four free throws, by the way, for the national media who need to plaster that everywhere. Only four free throws for Austin Reeves tonight in his.
He didn't grift. I'm glad you bring up the Utah game because that was one of those moments that you kind of store on the back of your head and you kind of say, not only is it him having the confidence there, but the Lakers collectively having the confidence in him to put him in those spots. And I think it was that Utah game where he made, like, the game was kind of getting away a little bit, and he pulled up from, like, the top of the key, right, the high school three-point range kind of area, and he hit that shot off of the dribble. And, again, to that point, the biggest game that the Lakers were playing that it had played in that year, the season very much on the line in that moment. LeBron trusted him. Ham trusted him. D'Angelo Russell got out of the way. And look, like D'Angelo Russell, well, I want to talk about him in a second too, because this game I think is huge for monstrous for him. But for Reeves in that moment, you kind of say like, oh, all right. Like, I mean, it's a regular season game still. We'll see what it looks like in the playoffs. Eventually, LeBron is just going to handle that in the playoffs. But no,
we
went to it. We look at me. I am pumped when I'm referring to the Lakers as we.
It's a
that doesn't 100%. Happen very often. But yeah, the Lakers go back to that time and time and time again. And, you know, we always hear about it in the NBA where these guys are so good. You have to give up something, and you have to, if it just happens that thing is going to beat you that game, then that thing is just going to beat you that game. And in this case, Memphis was giving up wide open shots to Rui, and they were just giving up wide open mid-range jumpers or not sending extra help to Reeves, because if they send extra help, it's coming from a corner shooter in D'Angelo Russell. It's coming from LeBron or AD, where they get an extra fraction of a second for their attempt whenever that time comes. This game, I don't know, man. The conversation about LeBron heading into these playoffs was, LeBron isn't physically at a place where he can be like the Lakers' lead guard the way that he was in the championship year. And I think that's objectively true. I think we're seeing that, like, he's not quite turning the corner in ways that he has to. He's relying a lot more on three-point shooting. And therefore, the Lakers need more creativity on the ball. Cool. We'll just find this hick from Arkansas to go do all that shit. What?
It's absolutely absurd. And so with LeBron point, yeah, he's not turning the corner, but also, like, Dylan Brooks is a freaking hellish defender also to try to always turn the corner on. And then you have Jaren Jackson Jr. meeting you. Other point of this too, Anthony, the Vanderbilt and AD combination on the boards, they were sending like two or three people to box out Anthony Davis, right? Because he was actually a tear on that end, tipping the ball, drawing loose ball fouls. Vanderbilt as well tapped out a bunch. And what that does is there's like a domino effect to that where, yeah, you have to be a little bit back on.
Actually, an underrated play from Rui was an offensive rebounding or like a defensive foul called on him with 2 seconds left in the shot clock that eventually became a Reeves jumper, I think.
And that was a huge play, too. I think Memphis was on a run. AD took, like, a fadeaway jumper behind the backboard. And Rui,
it was an air ball or barely hit
rim, not sure. But Rui just caught it and got fouled there. And, yeah, like, our rebounding, and you talked about Memphis doesn't have the big, so Steven Adams obviously out. You can punish them inside. And I thought Rui and D'Lo were able to – I mean, it's not Rui. Austin and D'Lo were able to take advantage of that and just hit pull-up jump shots, basically. And it was so weird watching LeBron just be like, yeah, I'm going to go stand in the corner, like, it's huge. Game one, close game. I'm standing in the corner. AD's like, I'm just going to come screen for you, and you make whatever play. And that trust, I mean, I don't remember the last, I don't know, first-time playoffs, second-year guard off like who's really had that type of trust with LeBron and AD. So it's been just incredible to watch his growth. But like I said, this isn't the first time he's been winning games like this. Even last year, I think he had a few, like obviously the game where in Dallas wasn't really off his creation, but he's had like clutch shots through his like short Lakers career so far. And I think it's starting to culminate in this. You see the confidence, Anthony. They're like, no, it's you. Like D'Lo's like, I'll get out of the way. I'll screen for you. It was like D'Lo AD as the double drag screens for him. And he gets to decide, do I kick it? Am I pulling? And that's just guard play we haven't had in a while. And we have two of them. I mean, you went from Patrick Beverley to Austin Reeves as your like ball handling guard starting. And that's just, it's such a gap in skill level that we can go to. So it's good. And only 30 minutes for him, which still seems low to me. Still seems low.
I think that'll probably go up. It's an easy comparison here, and he approaches it very differently because of the player I'm going to talk about, like his general approach to the game. But like the way that he just kind of slings around and probes defenses with the basketball. And now, again, nowhere near the passer, nowhere near the player that Steve Nash was, but it felt very Steve Nashian, where he just keeps that dribble alive for two or three dribbles longer than would naturally come to a player in that spot. And those extra 2 or 3 seconds on the ball forces the defense to make a really tough decision. We're not going to leave AD, certainly not going to leave LeBron if he's the screener. So that means Reeves gets like one or two more dribbles to go out and create a little bit more space for that jumper. And he's money. Like he's money in those on those shots and confident too. And, you know, the concern that I had coming off of the Minnesota game was like, oh shit, that was clearly the moment looked like it was too much for him. He was hesitating on shots and stuff. And this though, like he has this game in his back pocket. He's now done it before. And I think that's only going to give him more momentum going forward. Same goes for D'Angelo Russell, right? Mm-hmm. Like I thought D'Angelo, like Russell played his worst game as a Laker the second time around in that Minnesota playing game. Looked like he was aiming shots, didn't look confident on the ball, making defensive mistakes, winds up getting benched. And he started this game very much kind of the same, right? He took a couple threes in transition that looked like it was him trying to get himself going, but didn't look super confident on those shots. And then I thought a really big play was he actually got sent to the free throw line. And he shot those two free throws. And, you know, this is where, you know, having any experience playing the game, you know, really kind of says like, okay, he's seen the ball go through here. Like it's not a layup. It's not a breakaway. It's not some dunk that like it's, you know, cheap, like nothing like that. It was, you get to the free throw line, you just get to work on your stroke and focus on your shooting stroke, and you see that ball go through the net. And from that point forward, looked significantly better, and significantly better in a way that I think can carry on moving forward.
Well, he's the guy they're trying to hide John Morant on, right? Like they try to put John Morant on D'Angelo Russell, and we're like, all right, let's see if we can kind of hide him for a while. And I thought it was important for D'Lo to get going. You talked about he went to the line. There was one play he was like pointing at Scott Foster. They said, I was like, that's not a good idea. That's not really the way you win over the officials. But yeah, his three point shot was kind of he shot 3 for 9, which is fine. I think like his shot attempts need to be a little bit more higher. I think he was 1 for 8 in the Minnesota game, but he just has a calmness to him, and I love the like contrast between him and Austin. I think it just works really well. Austin's a little bit more physical, trying to get to the line, while D'Lo can kind of take his time, take pull-up jump shots. And it felt like he calmed down, right? The Memphis crowd was super loud. It looked like Minnesota like was able to rush him, right? It was able to speed him up. And I thought, you know, Memphis tried to do the same thing to start, and he was like 0 for 3. The shots weren't really close, but he really settled in. I mean, 35 minutes, he was a plus 20. A lot of that also was in the fourth quarter, but the biggest thing to me, Anthony, 19 points, 7 assists, only 2 turnovers for him, which for how much he had to handle. He had some passes where it was like, if that one is like an inch lower, it's stolen. Like LeBron, he had one to LeBron on the inside. He had another
one AD pass.
Yeah, that one too.
Holy shit.
Just barely, like if it's off, it's a turnover, but like it's right in AD's catch radius, so he was able to get to it. He had a bad pass in transition too. I think he was like, he had a pass where he's like, okay, AD versus Ja Morant jumping competition, and Ja was able to kind of hit that, you know, high elevator to get it. But I thought he was smooth, and this is kind of what like people want from D'Lo. I don't think he needs to score 19 every night, but like around 14 to 15 on like good shots and being confident with it and punishing Ja, who they're going to continue to try to hide on him. I think with Austin, LeBron, AD, and Vando, you can't really put Ja anywhere else, and they're like, let's put him on D'Angelo Russell. And I thought he got around the screen. Ja shouldn't be able to. Ja like flopped a few times for offensive fouls. Like, you know, yeah. D'Lo kind of got ahead of him and he was trying to put him in jail, and Ja kind of like flinging back. But that's kind of the only thing he can do on those. If D'Lo's, he had one big mid-range pull-up too, and that's just his game. And he can get to it whenever
he's going to get you at some point.
Like, exactly. And I'm saying like he can get to that whenever he wants, really, in my opinion, because they're not going to really show high on him with Jaren out there as the only big. So I think they're going to be kind of drop back. It's going to be Tillman kind of coming up on those. And I feel like he can get to that mid-range pull-up and just hit your spot-up threes. He's a good enough shooter. He should be able to hit those. Had a big three in the corner that he missed, but it looked kind of online. We got an offensive rebound out of it, but he was solid, a huge game. Mm-hmm. I think fans were like the most on D'Angelo Russell. They're like, this is your do-or-die situation, and yeah. He came through 19-7, two turnovers, and even four rebounds for him, which is nice. Him getting inside, getting dirty inside. So he had a really solid – we had a big game from our backcourt, Anthony. I mean, was it 39?
When was last time we said that?
39 points, 11 assists with two turnovers from our backcourt. I mean, that's just incredible to get when you have LeBron and AD as your frontcourt, by the way. So, yeah, he was awesome.
I mean, how insane is it that we're 25 minutes, almost 26 minutes into this conversation, haven't talked about LeBron, haven't talked about AD, and the Lakers won, you know? I want to start with AD, and good God, man, I got to pull up these stats. I guess this is me being a great professional here, but like when he is that kind of engaged defensively, I'm sorry. You know, you can throw Giannis out there, you can throw Draymond out there, you can throw a couple other defenders out there, obviously Jaren Jackson Jr. on that same court. There is certainly a conversation to be had about best defender in the world, but when AD plays like that, there isn't. There's not a conversation. That like he was obviously, you know, people are going to talk about the seven blocks, the three steals. You know, I would love, you know, the Grizzlies on the night shot 47% from the field. I would like to see, like, this is where it's kind of tough to define defense. But there were so many shots in the paint that Memphis didn't shoot because they felt his presence there. There were so many shots in the paint that they rushed because they felt his presence there. There were, like, so many moments where you just felt like the paint was just swallowed up. And, you know, this is kind of a ideological difference between the way Frank utilized AD and the way Ham utilizes AD, where Ham basically says, what we are going to have you do is just wipe out the paint. Like, nobody is ever going to be comfortable in the paint so long as you are out there focusing on, you know, I sometimes get frustrated with drop coverage because I think that does kind of take away from some of what he can do on the perimeter. But the paint, the most important real estate on the court for modern offenses, that is just not going to be a place that their opponent feels comfortable in. And yeah, I mean, again, you know, Reeves gets all the attention, Rui gets all of the attention because they did stuff that nobody expected them doing. But Anthony Davis won this game for the Lakers on the defensive side of the ball. He was insane.
100%. And the big thing for me with AD, which is really shocking, only two free throws, right? And that's usually where he really impacts, right? He usually gets like 10, 11 free throws a game. Only two free throws for him, only four for LeBron. But yeah, like, again, you look at this Memphis team though, right? And AD can kind of sit back a little bit more. They're more than comfortable with Ja Morant taking jump shots. They're more than comfortable with Dylan Brooks taking jump shots, even besides what LeBron said at his press conference. He's there, like, more than comfortable with Dylan Brooks shooting. Ja Morant hit like four straight jumpers, and our defense didn't change. We're like, go ahead. I think he hit like two straight threes, two mid-range pull-ups, and we're like, go ahead, take those. So like, he doesn't really have to switch as much, right? So we're having Vanderbilt and Dennis Schroeder basically just hound him, just like even picking up full court. Vanderbilt steps off when it's time to shoot, but he's still going over on screen, just making sure Ja knows that he's attached to him. And then you have to shoot over kind of the outstretched arms of AD. And he was just a monster inside. Seven blocks, you talked about it, doesn't really give the credit for how many shots he changed. And he doesn't have to be as much on the perimeter in this series. We switched a little bit at the end of the game to try to prevent threes, but for the most part, it's like no rolling behind, right? It's like let's protect the rim, let's take away Jaren Jackson Jr. from the inside. And I thought he was just a monster, and I thought he could have a couple more like fouls inside, but four offensive rebounds. I thought that changed kind of how Memphis can guard our outside shooters. They had to mm-hmm. they were sending like three people on him to box out. If you watch, AD's like having three of his hands held. And eventually his arm, I think he said he couldn't feel his arm or his arm.
It was a stinger.
Move. Stinger. Yeah. Scared me. But he was a monster inside. And then 10 for 17, super efficient. But Anthony, I think it was the first quarter to me that told me like, oh, he's here. You know what I mean? They went to
him. He had a dunk early.
The dunk. And then also like got it in the post. No waiting. Right. No, like, let's see what the defense is going. No, one move, hook shot. One move. Post up, one move, fade away. And I was like, oh, like he's ready. I think he had like 8 points in the first quarter or something like that. And he just set the tone to me, his aggression. And he showed like this is going to be a long night. And he dominated tonight.
I think one of the key stats in this one, and I thought coming into the series, one of the key stats was going to be AD dunks, like the number of dunks that AD has in the series, because that informs me how engaged he is on that side of the court. You know, two free throws is kind of worrisome. I, for lack of a better term, I want him to get to the free throw line more than that, especially given how important Jackson is for what they do. And we'll talk in a second, I think, about ways that the Lakers can attack Jackson better than they did in this one. But the defense was incredible from AD. It felt like every time the Lakers needed a play on either side of the court, AD was there to impact that play in some way, shape, or form. Like, no matter what it was, needed a good contest, needed a contested rebound, needed, you know, anything, you know, a putback, something like that. AD was right there for that stuff. And yeah, Jackson is going to get a lot of the attention, rightfully so, right? He was incredible in this game. But mm-hmm. you look at the totals here for plus minus on the night, or on the day, and AD leads the way with a plus 27, you know. Cool. It was just, he was incredible out there. And you know, I, one thing, like the Lakers really relied more on LeBron at the five lineups in this one than they have recently, especially since Ham showed up. I do kind of wonder if they're going to wind up going away from that, because I didn't really like how much of that looked. LeBron, you know, I just... Yeah, he didn't look right, fully right to me physically. And if he's going to be a center, you need him to be right offensively to be able to turn the corner on whichever person they're, you know, if it's Brooks, it's one thing. But there were like some moments where Xavier Tillman was guarding him on the perimeter and LeBron wasn't quite ready to turn the corner on him there. Had some weird turnovers. LeBron, I think, had, yeah, five turnovers on the game. Yeah. So I think that the Lakers are going to have to find a way to get LeBron. And it's weird to say this, but at this stage of his career, it you know, also makes some sense. But the Lakers are going to have to find a way to make the game easier on LeBron than it was in this one. And look, it might just be that, you know, Memphis is just going to burn their best defender, making sure LeBron doesn't get it going. And that just means that, you know, Reeves and D'Angelo Russell have to continue to be aggressive and productive, and maybe that's just how the rest of the series goes. But I think at some point here, the Lakers need to find a way to get, whether it's putting LeBron as the screener or, you know, him handing the ball off or something like that, just make whoever is guarding him have to move before he catches the ball.
Yeah, he fired a lot of threes, and a lot of his turnovers came in that second quarter. You know, that second, you know, that backup big kind of thing, I think I'm more fine with the LeBron and Rui like 4-5 as our bench unit. As long, I'm not sure Wenyan is playable in this series. Mo Bamba, I don't think I want him really in this series as well.
I don't think we'll see Bamba in the playoffs.
Yeah, and Wenyan, this is a bad matchup for him. You know, assuming Ja's able to go, just the guards who attack guys in their chest. Wenyan has trouble with that. He can move his feet, but once they get in the air, he can't really do anything about the contest. But that's what we did, Anthony. We kind of made LeBron more of a screener, right? And I think the shift that will eventually happen if this trend continues, Dylan Brooks will probably move on to one of Austin Reeves or right one off to Austin Reeves or D'Angelo Russell, and that's where LeBron can really cook, because once you take him off, now you have either Bane, you can't put Ja on him obviously, but it's probably going to be Bane on LeBron James, and he can really punish him going into the post. He's just kind of too small to carry him there, and I think that's where we'll see the switch. But if they're gonna face guard, which Dylan Brooks did tonight, just face guarding LeBron James, and you can open up stuff for your guards. I think LeBron will turn the corner a little bit better. You can tell still trying to get that physicality up. Maybe all the off days kind of made him a little bit rusty, but still 8 for 16, 3 for 8 from three. Probably would want to go to the line a little bit more. It was 2 for 4 from there, but contributed on the boards. And Anthony, I thought we saw the first like LeBron locked in as much as he could be on defense. Like as we saw, like I think he went for more chase down blocks than I've seen this season.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I think this was the most amount of blocks that he tried to do. And when you combine that with AD, like that's where you get the defensive ceiling, right? Along with Vanderbilt just hounding whoever their best guard is or best player is. LeBron and AD not only rebounding, both of them combined for 23 rebounds, 11 and 12 rebounds each, and then also going for blocks. LeBron also had 3 blocks himself, which would be a great night for any other, you know, player, but his teammate just had 7. So, but yeah, like, but yeah, 10 blocks combined for them. And I thought he could have got a couple more, but he was aggressive on defense, and maybe that's the trade-off, that like maybe you give him less of a load on offense to where he can lock in on defense. And I think Jaren Jackson Jr. got a couple like post-ups on him where he easily like backed him down and got to the rim. Second half, you didn't really see much of that as well, right? I think Jaren Jackson Jr. had like 21 at the half, finished with 10 points in the second half. A couple of those were jump shots. I thought he really kind of buckled down in the second half, and this is what we wanted, right? This is playoff LeBron. Like, obviously, the offense still isn't there, but I thought you saw the defensive engagement in a way that we haven't seen in a little while.
Yeah, that was the most time LeBron has spent in the air on defense in a couple years.
He was waiting for some of those, too. Like, on Desmond Bane, he read that at half court, and I was like, are you really going to go for this right now? And Bane put it up, and he, like, pinned it to the backboard. Yeah.
He blocked that with his armpit. Like that was, you know, it was wild to see him, you know, that far up there. And yeah, like, LeBron at this stage of his career isn't going to get after it defensively all the time. And like, you know, one way that you can kind of see the engagement level, like there was a stretch there in the first half where LeBron turned the ball over once, he drove into the paint. And I think he expected Vanderbilt to be out there in the corner, and Vanderbilt wasn't. So he threw it into the corner where nobody was there. That was his first turnover. I don't mind that one as much because it's a dead ball turnover. They still have to go and score in the half court. But then he had like a...
the behind the back at 28 feet.
The behind the back. With John Morant, the behind the back pass. Yeah. And sandwiched in between there was he found himself on Luke Kennard. And I'd have to look here. I think it was the only three that Kennard hit tonight was that one, and LeBron had a foot in the paint on the release. And I'm like, look, LeBron can guard anybody else on the court except anybody who can shoot. Like, I never want to see him on Kennard. I never want to see him on Bane. Just put him on Brooks and allow Brooks. Like, if Brooks knocks down a couple 3-pointers, good. That means he's going to take more of them. But I never want to see him on Kennard ever again. That cannot happen.
Yeah, so that behind the back one, what was happening was, and we went away from this quick, he tried to, you know how he does the playoff hunting, right? So you go after whoever the smallest guard is. So he was trying to punish, I believe, Luke Kennard on that or John Morant, and they just trapped those ball screens really quickly. They're like, we're just doubling. We're not letting you get one-on-one matchups at all. And LeBron threw this lackadaisical behind the back pass, easy dunk. John Morant started screaming to the crowd. I was like, oh, damn it. Like, he just gave up your lead. But I like him on Jackson in this matchup, Anthony. I think, number one, it lessens the load on AD as well, right? So AD doesn't have to guard Jaren Jackson Jr. the whole possession while also being the rim protector that shuts off the paint, right? That turns off the water in the paint. And then it kind of keeps LeBron engaged, right? You can't be disengaged.
Yeah, he needs to respect the person that he's guarding.
Yeah, he had zero respect for anyone in Minnesota, by the way. Nothing against Minnesota. He just had very little respect for everyone on that team. It was maddening to watch. But I think he respects Memphis, at least. But yeah, like, But on Jaren Jackson Jr., I think like the weight matchup is kind of even out. Jaren Jackson Jr. has the size, but if Memphis's offense is going to be Jaren Jackson Jr. five dribbles into a post hook shot, like I'm living with that at least for now. Yeah. Like that's a 2-point shot, whatever. Like you kind of live with
this
those
is not 80s. Generating anything for anybody else either. Like either right. he scores or. He
that's
misses.
It, yeah,
that's it.
Exactly, and it's not putting anyone in foul trouble. And plus, you still have AD there who can roam and be a pterodactyl and block that from time to time. So I live with that as the offense. What you can't do is like have what you said, LeBron on Luke Kennard. He's not chasing him for 24 seconds. He's just not gonna do it. And they run stuff for Luke Kennard. Like they run specific actions him coming off of double drags and stuff like that. Where LeBron just not going through three screens to chase Luke Kennard is not happening. So even Desmond Bane, I don't like him on him either. I love him on Jackson or Tillman. I think is nice on AD. AD can kind of roam off of Xavier Tillman in that way, and they don't really find Tillman in those spots. Tillman gets his offense through offensive rebounds and stuff like that. So I like him on Jackson a lot, actually.
Now that you mention it about Kennard, you know, having stuff run specifically for him. Shouts to Russell. I thought Russell played really well in some of the minutes that Kennard was out there. You know, chasing on screens and staying connected on screens. That's not something that we attribute to Russell's game. Like that is not generally, that is when I see like two screens and Russell like having to chase the guy over two of them, I'm like, he might get through one and a half of these. Maybe best case scenario, the person who catches the ball like falls over or like drops the ball and then Russell's in position there to defend. But actually in this case, like he was right there for a lot of it. He was there to contest and either ran Kennard off of the three. Look, the fact Kennard only shot 4 3-pointers is pretty indicative to me of the kind of defense that the Lakers played on him. You know, he is one of those guys who's going to swing a game in this series with that shooting. And that can't happen if you're only taking 4 threes as a shooter, though. So, you know, that's something that I think Russell was really good at today. I think Troy Brown Jr. was pretty bad overall, but in those minutes, if that's what he was asked to do, he did pretty well there too. It was a from like the kind of things that often go ignored stuff went in the Lakers' direction, I thought, in this one.
By the way, did you see Austin just try to get those offensive fouls running on screens? They were just not going to give it to him ever.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, I got hit in my face 30 times. And I was just like, no, run the other way. I thought D'Lo was solid. They had him on, I think.
We need Reeves to grow some dreads like John Morant has, because that's more visible. Like the bright dreads when they flutter, like because he's flicking his head back on every like contact that he gets in his chest. Refs see that. We need to get Reeves or some kind of a wig to get him some extensions to see if we can get some better calls there on screens.
Yeah, his face was all red. I mean, that should have been like the indicator. There's a few times I think Desmond Bane also just hit him with the elbow in the chest that AD blocked eventually. But he's like, dude, like, where's the? And the refs was like, nah, just keep going, go the other way. There was a few times, but I thought D'Lo was like, he defended Dylan Brooks. I thought like he played the game plan, let him kind of shoot, close out late. Brooks hit like 2 threes as well. I'm like, man, if this is a Dylan Brooks game and a jaw hitting threes game, that would suck in like a game where you actually played really well. But I thought we ran guys off. I thought Dennis did a nice job as well, chasing around Desmond Bane. Dennis's offense wasn't there. Was only 2 for 5, but I like only took 5 shots, right? There's games where like, 2 for 5. There's games where Dennis is like 2 for 10, right? He's like, let me try and see where my offense goes.
It's going to get here somehow, guys. Just wait.
But no, he was like really calm, and Ham only played him 20 minutes, right? So you could see like the button pressing.
Shouts to foul trouble.
Oh, well, yeah, he did have 3 fouls, which I love that, like, Van Gundy said this on the broadcast. Like, Dennis was able to tell Ham, I got this. It was, like, the first time you ever see a player, like, convince the coach, like, no, I'm good. Keep me in.
Yeah.
Like, wow, I can't believe that. But he was eventually pulled. But I thought, like, he did a solid job defensively. They all just kind of came through. The Malik Beasley minutes, though, Anthony, those were tough. Those were
he rough. Can't play. He can't play. He's not playable in the series. He's not a 16 game guy. But like I thought that was some real good gamesmanship actually from Ham, because Schroeder needed to get it going a little bit, and he was kind of just obviously out of rhythm defensively. If you commit 3 fouls and a half as a point guard, dude, you got to fucking try to do that. Like that is not easily done for a point guard. Who isn't really guarding Jaw all that much, but I thought that was some gamesmanship from Ham, because he had Russell coming in. And then Schroeder goes like, no, I got this. We're good. And Russell goes and sits down. And then the next play, Russell was actually walking back to the scorer's table. So I thought that was some like real good, like Ham looking like he gives Schroeder the nod there, some confidence or whatever. But actually, he got his guy in there like fairly quickly. Like actually, it's like two plays later, Schroeder was out of the game. I don't need to spend too much time here on Beasley. I just don't think he's made up for this. I really think that the key to this thing is going to be Rui. So long as Rui is playing well, there isn't a counter on Memphis's bench with the physicality that the Lakers can present all 48 minutes if Rui is getting all of Beasley's minutes. Like that's just, you know, between Rui and Vanderbilt. We actually saw Rui and Vanderbilt out there a little bit together at the same time. Right. Thought of you in that stretch. I just think there were certain things that I remember this. So I'm like 7 years older than my younger brother. I'm like 13 years older than my youngest brother, right? Which means I had a lot of experience beating the shit out of them in basketball when they were growing up. And like there were just certain things that I could do that they just had no answer for. That there was like that was not an option. I was just bigger than they were. I was faster than they were and stuff. And so if I like lean heavily on that, then there was no adjustment that could be made. And I think here Rui is that guy that like there isn't an adjustment. There's no counter. There's nothing that they can do there. They can hope to shoot better, and that's about it. But the Lakers, if they're engaged the way that they are defensively, or they were defensively in this one, running guys off of three-pointers, there is nothing that can be done here. It becomes a short series. So, like, credit to Beasley, and I think he's a talent, and maybe eventually he's going to impact a different series. But in this one, I'd rather continue doing the thing that Memphis doesn't have a counter for.
And not only with the Rui thing, the crazy thing about it is he's probably like the smallest guy in the front court, right? So you play him next to LeBron and AD, you're just massive on that front line. Huge. I think that's huge on that front line. And if you play Vando with that, then you're just absolutely huge, right? Vando's your defending your ones. I think that's where like we win this series though, Anthony, just the size, impact, and advantage. I think you already saw it, right? With the impact we had on the boards, you see Jaren Jackson Jr. Having to have Nico and box out AD, two guys come to box him out. We forced Desmond Bane into a 6-for-18 shooting night because we're just huge on the wing. Like it's hard to go get open on those. Bane is shooting like 35, 36 footers. I think he hit one. Austin was guarding him. He just pulled up from closer to half court. Austin's like, what the hell? And it went in, but like that's the shots that we're kind of forcing. I thought Tyus Jones got a little bit going, but yeah, I think we can just punish them by being huge and Vando being massive size with the speed, being able to chase John Morant. I think that's our advantage. And Rui's obviously not going to
have... Even D'Lo's long. Yes. Reeves, if he's playing point guard, is long by point guard standards. Like, it's a long, athletic, physical team. And, you know, if they had Adams, if they had...
Brandon Clark,
obviously that advantage, you know, dissipates quite a bit. But in this case, they don't have those guys, and there just isn't a counter. You can't just magically grow, right? It's like when the Lakers were just hoping that Pat Bev would like grow over the course of the season and eventually become a 3-and-D wing. Like that doesn't happen. That's not an option for human beings. In this case, like the Memphis isn't going to magically get bigger. They don't have options that would allow them to get. What are they going to play, Roddy? But like any Roddy minutes are not Kennard minutes.
No.
That's just not really an option for them.
Well, you look at their guards, right, Anthony? So you have John Morant. He's going to be picked on, or at least he's a defensive liability. Then you bring in Tyus Jones, and then Tyus Jones is 6'2", right? He's tough, but I mean 6'2" guard that, you know, if that's switched on a Rui or whatever. And then you have Luke Kennard as well, who's another guy, defensive liability, right? So they really don't have much back there. Santi Aldama played like 24 minutes. I thought he had a few tough threes, but he's not going to punish you as a big.
He was a minus 23 in those 24 minutes.
But he's a quote-unquote big, right? They play him at backup kind of forward or center. Yeah, but he's a shooting type of skill big that they have. But you're right, there's just not a lot of size. You get past Jackson and Tillman, really, and they're really light. And that's where we can punish them. On the boards, Rui, you talked about that big offensive rebound. I thought Vanderbilt's just tip outs and just being a guy that, like, damn, I have to know where Vanderbilt is. Like, I have LeBron there, AD there. I have to know where Vanderbilt's running around to get a body on him. That's a lot to account for on the inside. And if you don't do that, you have AD just punish you on the boards. You have LeBron as well going down there and helping out. So that's just a lot of size and physicality to me, and against a team that really has gone more skill. I think last year Memphis was a little bit more rugged, right? You talked about Adams there as well. They were a bigger, more physical team. I forgot who they traded for Luke Kennard, but you put that into it. Again, they upped their kind of three-point percentage by putting him into their lineup, but they're just small on, you know, on the backside once you get past their starters. And Dylan Brooks was in foul trouble. I think that's a guy we both want to play more, actually. Like, we're not mad at Dylan Brooks getting minutes. Mm-hmm. He's their big physical guard, but after that, it gets tough, right? And
They really, really miss Kyle Anderson in the series. All right, let's wrap this thing up. Moving forward, I came into the series thinking a bet on the Lakers winning in five. I texted you, or we were messaging back and forth about doing this show, and you said, like, oh, I can't wait to talk about, you know, you weren't very confident in this one going in. And I the Lakers need to wrap this thing up early because they have a bunch of rest in between these games, and then that rest goes away later in the series. So I think there's a lot more. They're going to play with some real engagement here because I think they recognize any extra rest that they can get is going to be huge. I don't think they're going to sweep or anything like that. But I do really think, like, I still stand by my Lakers in five thing. Does this change your outlook on the series?
So I still have the Lakers in six. I'm going to kind of stick with that. Obviously, it's pending John Morant's kind of...
Wow, hater.
Look, five would be incredible. I mean, I think Memphis is still a really good team. I don't think you win that many games.
We got to see what the situation is with Ja, because they ran x-rays. Those were negative, but they're going to continue doing more testing. They showed him on the bench later. He didn't go back into the game, but he was wearing a cast.
But just to show how ridiculous this was, Memphis was 35-6 at home. That's the best. Mm-hmm. That's a home record. That's the best home record in the league, not just Western Conference. Not just, you know, that's the best record in the league. That's why, honestly, I thought Lakers would lose game one, but they came out and took that. They took home court back. I still have us in six. I think this is still going to be a little rocky series here, but you know, you take this, now you have, you know, you're playing with house money in game two, and then also this is the most like rest you've had, right? The Lakers have been playing so they played 8 games in 14 days to close the season, right? Yeah. 8 games in 14 days. All of those were must wins. They didn't act like it in all of them, but all of them were must wins. I think they went 7-1 in those games. I forgot who the loss was too. It was some BS loss too, I remember. But but we had like one loss in that stretch, and now
Anthony, Chicago.
Yes, the one game I went to, they decided not to play Rui Hachimura for some reason. But that was Chicago, who shout out Patrick Beverly is home with us. But yeah, game one was today.
He tried his best to knock the Lakers out of the playoffs while he was a Lakers. You know, credit to him.
I'm not a chef, but he called himself like a utensil. I don't know how that worked, really. He called him a spoon or a fork or something.
He's the fork out of the playoffs, that's for sure.
You play game one today, fork and then game three is not till Wednesday, and then game two is not till Wednesday, and then game three is not till Saturday. So you have like a huge leeway here to really get rest.
How many times are you rewatching this between now and Wednesday?
Man,
you just got so excited. That's going to be the image for this show, is how excited you just got.
Oh, I cannot wait.
How many times you could rewatch this game. Just like looked up at the heavens like, wow, man, look at that.
Oh, I cannot wait, Anthony. I've rewatched enough bad ones to where, like, this is going to be absolutely beautiful. I might watch a quarter, you know, rewatch that quarter, and then, you know what I mean? I'm going to have a really good time.
You're going to rewatch like, from every different player's perspective. You're going to watch this is the Austin Reeves rewatch. This is the Austin Reeves re-rewatch. This is, you're gonna rewatch the Reeves version of it, like, a few times, I think. Oh, especially 100%. That fourth quarter.
Yeah, usually I'll watch it on my TV, then I'll rewatch it on my computer to like pull what I want to pull. But we got a huge week to kind of really rest and, you know, This is like the most rest they've gotten in a very long time. We had a really tight schedule after the All-Star break. We played more games than a lot of teams. And this was the first time that we've seen like LeBron and AD with a four-game break, like a four-day break. And I thought you saw what that could mean. And they have two games. You play one game in the next like 4 or 5 days as well. It's just the NBA kind of, obviously the last few games are kind of tight in terms of 4, 5, 6. But I think this is a great chance.
It won't matter.
Yeah. It's a it won't matter. A Lakers at 5 hashtag. That's crazy for a 2-7 matchup, but the home, that's what the reason I didn't, Anthony, because Memphis, like I said, is 35 and whatever, 6 at home. That was just, it's a ridiculous home record. They won games, a lot of those, even without John Morant. So I thought that they would at least protect home court at least tonight, but this was huge. This gives them a lot of momentum. You get into game 2, if you can steal that one, then yeah, your Lakers in 5 is really cooking. But
shit, yeah, the only thing I'm nervous about is Lakers in 4. Like, I'm just,
oh, you know. Wow. Oh, man.
All right, that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge. 128-112 is your final in Memphis as the Lakers take care of business. They earn at least a sweep there in Memphis. We await news as far as John Morant's availability here moving forward throughout the series. Fun week ahead as we react to not just this Lakers game and the number of times that Raj is going to rewatch it, but the rest of the playoffs, right? The Warriors lost in Sacramento in game 1. We already got the Knicks beating Cleveland in Cleveland. It's already been an insanely fun NBA playoffs. It's made all the more fun because we're in a good mood about these Lakers. And let's just keep this thing rolling. So thank you, Raj, for hopping on with me after this game on this fine Sunday afternoon. Thank you, everybody, who tuned in live to us while we talked about it. You can find this everywhere that you find your favorite podcasts. I'm also going to be doing a lowdown where I take a closer look at some of this stuff specifically and then look ahead also. Going to wait to record that one until we get more on John Morant. So that'll also drop later tonight. I might just drop this live now. I might just throw this right into everybody's feed so that you can, you know, enjoy it right after the big win. That's always the most fun way to do this after playoff games. We wouldn't remember, it's been a long time, but that's always the most fun way to watch these things. So again, Lakers Lounge is where you can find this stuff. Thank you, Raj, for doing this. Yep. Check out Raj on the Playback app or on your desktop on the Playback app where he's watched today's game with All Access Lakers. They do great stuff over there as well. I guess we do great stuff over there as well. So, we will talk to you again mañana.
Peace.
Lakers in 5.